Hello, hello. Welcome back to Inspiring African Travel. It's James here, and you are tuning in to episode 3 of our latest series, Untamed Routes. This series has been all about diving into off-the-beaten-path adventures. We're talking about the kind of trips that take you beyond bucket list destinations. So think about Untamed Routes as uncovering the second biggest, the second oldest, the second longest, whatever it might be. It's about taking you for an epic place and experience that's going to bring you a thrill and connection to Africa's wild places, but something and somewhere not everybody knows about. In our last episode, we shared why trekking Tanzania's second highest mountain, Mount Meru, might just be the adventure for you. And the first episode, if you haven't caught it, we took you to the mountain kingdom of Lesotho, another beautiful undiscovered gem. Today, we're heading off to my beloved Botswana, a destination that many of you will know is famous for epic elephant herds, the incredible Okavango Delta, an icon in Africa, the famous Chobe River and the boat safaris that you can do, the Kalahari Desert. These are places and experience many people know when you talk about Botswana. Not everybody knows or has heard that Botswana is home to Africa's second biggest zebra migration. Some call it Africa's secret migration. It really is a remarkable event, and it's something you should really consider when planning your trip to Botswana. So we'll be covering in this episode everything you really need to know about this incredible migration. We'll dig into the history behind how it's been re-established, and of course covering the where and the why and the how when it comes to trying to see this zebra migration. If you have any questions at all, please feel free to reach out to us. You can find us on our website, social media, and hopefully we'll be quick to respond. But otherwise, just enjoy this episode and this chat with Stuart and I as we delve into another one of Africa's best kept secrets. Hope you enjoy. Catch you soon.
Let me just make a right down here. Zebra migration.
Welcome back to Tread Studio.
Thank you. Yeah. 2 weeks later. Or is it?
So, are we, by the way, matched up. Nice, hey, look at that. Gentle green.
Yeah. This is my, I got a lot of compliments about the quality of this CNQ shirt that we purchased in Lesotho.
Yeah, this is an unpaid promotion, but we love Senku. It's a really cool brand.
I must say.
From originating in the... Senku is actually the Orange River in Basutu. Sesotho. And it was started by two dudes who actually started their company by making fishing flies.
Yeah.
By local women in Lesotho.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
And then now they've got a cool clothing brand. So if you're looking for some really wicked outdoor gear that's ethical and...
Affordable.
Yeah.
And I mean, warm. I think you shopped in 2 CNQ stores on our Lesotho adventure.
I'm a bit obsessed.
Yeah, I think you are. But that was weird because we... I don't know why I'm talking about Lesotho again. But we kind of like... Before we went up Sony Pass, we found CNQ. And when we came out Lesotho on the other side, we found them again.
Yeah.
Right?
So. And I'm also dressed by CNQ. I've got the classic Mlungu shirt.
Ah, okay. Look at you.
Mlungu means white man.
Yes. For those who are wondering.
Yeah. But everyone knows I'm really not.
Yeah. Cool. Anyway, we digress. So yes. Let's just recap quickly. We've done a really cool episode on our Lesotho experience, which we both did for the first time together. You chatted to us about Mount Meru in East Africa, in Tanzania, which I thoroughly enjoyed because I've never been there before. So just like experiencing it through your eyes. And now we're going to chat a little bit about... a really cool, unique experience in Botswana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? Second biggest zebra migration in Africa. And this is very much in keeping with this series, which is about uncovering the lesser known experiences within if you like, the bucket list brand items in Africa.
Yeah. So
everyone knows Kilimanjaro. We talked about Meru. Everybody knows the East Africa migration.
Yeah.
Zebra migration, the wildebeest migration. And today we're going to talk to you about the zebra migration, which is some refer to it as the secret migration.
Yeah.
And it's epic. And of course, what you're going to get if you do this in Botswana, you're going to go away from some of the areas that everybody knows in Botswana, which is the Okavango Delta and the Chobe River. And you're going to get to see a migration that few people get to see. Mm. And it is incredibly rewarding.
Yeah. And I mean, one thing is, you know, Botswana has so many iconic places. And it is such a well-known destination for so many good reasons. And those the Okavango Delta, Savuti, Chobe River, they all are epic experiences. But what's really cool about this migration is you can add that on right in the peak of Botswana's season, and it's like nothing else you'll experience in Botswana, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And you and me are very lucky. We've had the chance over the years with Desert and Delta to get to know this zebra migration and to get to know the Makgadikgadi area.
Yeah.
The Makgadikgadi Pans is the place where this migration takes place. And yeah, I think it is becoming one of those iconic places slowly but surely, for not just because of the migration, but because of the experience of the salt pans. And it is almost that classic desert experience in combination with the Delta, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, so you get, like, obviously we're talking peak season. So the Delta, it's at its best, right? It's wet. Mm. There's lots of water. It's lush. And then a short flight away, you're in the desert and you get this incredible migration experience. But let's just, I mean, give us a rundown about what the migration is all about, how it works a little bit. I mean, a lot of people understand East Africa and that kind of almost circular movement of wildebeest. What is the zebra migration and in Botswana?
Well, let's put it all into context a little bit. And hopefully by the end of this episode, we'll also be able to explain a little bit about the seasonality. There's a lot of misconceptions about when you come and see the migration within all the travel industry who's selling it. So it's important, I think, to understand a little bit about how it differs at the different times of the year. But in terms of context, I mean, the East African migration, I think there's around about 250 to 350,000 zebras, which make up that migration. And
Zebras.
About 1.5 million zebras, wildebeest.
Correct,
so it's epic in size. But in Botswana, we're looking at about 5,000 or 6,000 wildebeest and maybe 30,000 to 40,000 zebra.
Yeah.
So much smaller. But of course, it's not all about numbers, right?
Exactly.
It's not just size, doesn't matter.
Exactly.
It's all about the experience. If you're in and amongst a herd of 1,000 zebras, it doesn't matter if they're another 300,000 elsewhere.
Yeah.
It's still an epic experience.
100%. Because you can't see 1 million wildebeest in one sitting, right?
No.
I mean, obviously you get that incredible experience again. Never knock that migration. But there is and zebra are, because of, with the stripes and the way they look, I think it's quite epic being in and around a lot of zebra moving down onto a water point like that. You know?
Exactly.
It's, it really is something you can't experience in anywhere else, and it's really is unique, right?
Totally. And we'll get into the dynamics of the different times of the year and how you see those zebras.
Yeah.
But to finish off sort of painting the picture of this particular migration, going back a few hundred years, there's no scientific evidence, but anecdotally speaking, it was probably one of the greatest migrations in Africa, bigger than in East Africa. But unfortunately, in the 50s and 60s and 70s, they started erecting veterinary fences.
Yes.
Mainly for cattle to split buffalo from the cattle, because the beef industry was one of the most affluent exports for Botswana at that time. And sadly, that put an end to a lot of these migration movements, because they were halted by the movement of the fences and couldn't access. So sadly, over a period of a few decades, a lot of wildebeest and zebras perished or had to adapt and change their movements. And then slowly in the late 90s, early 2000s, some of these fences broke.
Yeah.
And some of them have been removed.
Yeah.
By various conservation agents, the agencies and the government as well. And so this zebra migration has actually started to reestablish itself.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. And incredible to think, really, actually, maybe how these instinctive behaviors kick in. Or yeah. whether it's smell, you know, there's so much we still don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think quite special to see how that we can reverse human interference and things like that. So that movement of zebra, typically the big zebra migration that we know involves the Makgadikgadi salt pans,
yes.
which is the largest collection of salt pans in the world. It's about the size of Belgium, poor old Belgium. It's compared with
Belgium again.
Same size as Lesotho.
Yeah.
Same size
as the salt pans. But it's a good point of comparison, right?
And basically, the zebras congregate in the Makgadikgadi salt pans and the Naipans, which are basically all connected.
Yeah.
Around the green season. It's the rainy season in Botswana. Yeah. So that's between December and March.
Summer rain,
mm-hmm. December to March. Could be earlier, could be a bit later. Always depends on the rain, but typically around about that.
And that's because those salt pans are so flat, water sits there. There's plenty of water and therefore plenty of food for the zebra, right?
Exactly. Plenty of food, especially that because of the sodium in the ground there. Those grasses are really nutritious. As I said earlier, we've got the wildebeest, which accompany them. They really go well together, wildebeest and zebra, because I think the zebras prefer the longer, coarser grasses. Mm. And then so they eat that first, and then the wildebeest pull in, and then they like the more shorter, nutritious grass. So they work well together. And of course, there's not that many predators out there as well. So it's a safe area for them to drop their young.
Yeah.
There are still lions that follow, but it's not like the East African migration where the lions, the lions and the cheetahs, basically it's like a frenzy.
Yeah, it's like a free for all.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're talking the zebra are in the rainy season, congregated around the salt pans because there's water and food there, and then obviously as you go into the dry season, they move away, right?
Yeah, they move away. And the water dries very quickly because it's shallow.
Yeah.
So literally almost as the rains are starting to stop, the zebras are starting to move.
Yes.
And again, this is where if you do your research, you there's not a lot of stuff out there, information about it. But actually, there's about 20,000 of these zebras. So a big majority of them move in a westerly direction.
Yes.
Towards basically what is essentially the end of the Okavango Delta, and that's called the Boteti River.
Yes.
And that's the area that we know so well.
Yeah.
The camp that's part of Desert and Delta that we spent many years visiting and still do is called Lerula Tau.
Yeah.
On the edge of the Boteti River. Now, over the years, this river has filled up and flowed all the way into the Makgadikgadi Pans.
Yeah.
It's actually the end of the Delta. Mm. And then it dries.
Yeah.
And we're going through a dry spell at the moment. So.
But importantly, I mean, it does dry, but there's pockets of water remain, right?
Pockets of water remain, and there's also artificial water holes pumped by the Wildlife Department and the lodges along that riverfront, which is important because that migration has reestablished itself. Mm. And so what you get in the dry season, if you go to the western part of the Makgadikgadi Pans National Park, is you get to see all those zebras move across and spend that entire dry season moving in and out of the Boteti River all day long.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's incredible. Huh? And I mean, from a day-to-day perspective, it's incredible to see, because if you spend a few nights there, like in the mornings, it's quite quiet on the river, right? You know, kind of wake up and there's not a lot going on there. But as the temperature rises, the numbers start to get more and more. And then as you get late and late in the day, by the afternoon, it's just zebra mania, right?
Yeah.
They just line the riverbanks and they just keep coming down, and then they drink and they move off, and then the next lot comes in. It's like this consistent movement of zebra against the river. And Lerula Tau and some of the other lodges in the area, which we'll chat about as well, they kind of sit on just outside looking into the park, right? So you get this really cool experience of these zebra coming almost towards you and then turning around and going back inside, right?
Yeah, it's amazing. And the dust, it's dramatic, isn't it?
It is dramatic.
You described it beautifully.
Yeah.
So quite different to what people experience in East Africa. Mm. I mean, obviously, a lot of people are you get to see the crossings, which is on a lot of people's lists in East Africa.
Yes.
But again, that can be quite a hustle with tourist vehicles and stuff. Whereas imagine just sitting from the lodge and watching a few thousand zebras channel down to the river and creating all that dust. You've got elephants and you've got wildebeest, and it's just all happening. And almost to a certain extent, with the river drying up, it's actually made it more dramatic because more of them are concentrated now to those water sources along the thing. But I mean, remember the good old days with the river, though. It was amazing because you got this contrast of the dust, the white sands and the dry, dry trees, and then that black and white coming down to the river, and then that rich blue from the Piteti River and the green grasses.
And the greenery on the edges. It makes it's a massive contrast. Mm. I mean, again, let's just remind everyone that it's a dry season experience, right? So it's winter, it's dry, and the Mkgadikgadi pans are dry, so the zebra are coming out there looking for food and for water, obviously. So they do, they come out of this like very harsh environment down onto like this almost oasis when the river's in flood. And then obviously when it's dry, when there's pockets of water, like you say, you get this massive congregation. So, I mean, my memories of it certainly is from the boat, when there's water in the river, it's really cool because I mean that it'll come back right at some point.
At some point, but it could be 20 years.
Exactly.
You know, so I think it's important to point out that riverbed is dry.
Yeah.
But you've taken some amazing photos.
Yeah, too, I mean,
of the dust, and it is beautiful photography.
It is.
Even though the river's not there, you drive along that riverbed. And watch those zebras come down to the water holes.
Yeah, so from a photography perspective, the great thing about it is you are photographing wildlife coming towards you, which is quite an important thing. Often if you're sitting away from the river and you're watching wildlife go into the river, then you're photographing bums, right? Because they're all going into the river or towards the river. Whereas on the Boteti River, if you're on a game drive, you kind of, sometimes you're on the opposite side of the river or just on the edges, and you get this really cool effect of wildlife coming at you. Mm. So like some of my best photos of along the Boteti have been kind of either from the boat or from the vehicle, where you get that really low angle, you get lots of faces right in front of you, which is really, really cool, right?
Beautiful.
So that's like the biggest memory for me is just, and that, what I love about that area is you never drive far. Right, you're never going on like this massive mission to go and see stuff because it all comes to you on the river. Obviously, you can do a day trip up to Naipan and so on, which is a day of a full day experience. But the majority of it is coming right in front of you, which is really, really cool.
Epic.
Yeah.
So that's essentially a big chunk of the zebras moving west to east. Mm. So east inside of the pans during the green season. And then they move west during the dry season. So that's from May through to end of October. They're on the Boteti Riverside.
Mm.
And then November, December through to March, April in the pans, Naipan and Mkgadikgadi pans.
Yeah.
But there are a big number of zebras that actually move sort of in a northwest direction.
Yes.
And curiously, when we were first kind of working at Desert and Delta, they actually collared a zebra and tracked it, and they discovered a new migration route, or an ancient migration route that they didn't know about.
Yeah.
Which is, turns out, it's the longest land mammal migration in the world.
Really?
And that's, those zebras move from the salt pans, from the Mkgadikgadi, up through the Mbabi Depression, into Savuti, through Lenyati, and all the way up to the Chobe River.
Incredible.
So remember when we were out there on the western side of the Chobe River, and you'd see quite a lot of zebras out there during the dry season.
Yeah.
They've come all the way from the pans.
Those are pan zebra.
Pan zebras, mate. And that's about 500 kilometers there and 500 back. So that's a 1,000-kilometer round trip for those bloody zebras.
It's a long way.
Right? Yeah. So but that migration, I don't know numbers-wise, but you know, maybe 5,000-10,000 of those ones are moving up through there. Some of them might just stay in Savuti. Remember, in that late dry season, you can pick up a lot of zebras out in the grasslands of the Savuti marsh in that area, and then they might head back.
Mm.
But a lot of them make it all the way up to the Chobe River.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. But those zebras, those movements kind of scatter, if you like.
Yes.
You're not gonna be out in, very rarely would you be able to be out in the Chobe or Linyati or Safiti and go, wow, there's a zebra migration.
Yeah, because you just see them in large numbers, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
So the sort of, to come and experience Botswana's secret migration and to experience the zebra migration there, you need to be on the Boteti side on the dry season or out on the Eastern Pans area in Naipan or Maharihari Pans during the green season to go and see those, see what is the zebra migration in Botswana.
Yeah. So, I mean, what's really cool is if you are planning a safari to Botswana in the peak season because you want to get the best of the delta, you can add on the Boteti River and you're going to get the best of the zebra migration on the Boteti River. That's for what's sure. really important is that... sometimes people get confused with the time of the year, and it's really cool because you can add on this other experience down there that not a lot of people know about, and you're going to see it when it's at its best, right? Which is really, really cool.
Exactly, I think that because the zebra migration is becoming a bit more well known, and it's in the pans during the rainy season during the summer. A lot of people say that's when you come and see the zebras in Botswana, but actually you can see them all throughout the year.
Mm.
And I have to say, when you head out to... So our tips, I think it's important to know, because we're also fans of traveling in off-season and shoulder season. So you never know exactly when those first rains are going to come.
Yeah.
And it's one of those classic experiences when you're out there. And if the rains, let's say the rains arrive in late October, which traditionally they used to do in Botswana, they seems to be coming a little bit later. You could literally see 10,000 zebras in an afternoon driving up and down the Boteti River on that western side of Maharihari. And then there might be the smell of rain out in Naipan.
Yeah.
And then overnight, those zebras just disappear. And the next day, you might be lucky to see one.
Exactly. It's crazy, right?
They just disappear. Yeah. And so you could be... You might say it's a bit unlucky, right?
Mm.
If you were to come at that time of the year. And I think this is the key for us is that... If you do want to come in the shoulder season or you want to come to an area where the zebras might not be like in the eastern part or the western part, come for a longer period of time, do both sides or stay for one night, stay for like three or four nights and do a day trip out to the one side, because you can actually travel all the way out to Naipans or the Maharihari Pans from Boteti and vice versa.
Yeah.
So... I think that's the key, isn't it? So if you are unlucky and you miss it because they've headed out, well, that's a positive if you've got time, because that means you can take a day trip and go and follow them, and you'll actually pick up all those zebras moving there.
And if you go from Boteti through to Naipan on a day trip, I mean, that's a really cool, that's a real adventure that, right? Going kind of through the national park, come out the other side, and then you get the added advantage of also popping in to see the baobabs and all of that that's in that area. Plus all of those zebra kind of congregating around those water sources there. I've done that a few years ago and it was just amazing. You know, they also, you just sit at the water point and it just all comes to you, right?
Yeah.
Which is a really cool experience.
Naipan is incredible as well, because also you pick up a much higher concentration of game than you would do just generally out in the in the eastern parts of Maharihari Pans.
Yeah.
And you get to see things like springbok, in huge numbers and... oryx, and there's quite a lot of game out there, as well as all the zebra, and so it allows you to see a whole different ecosystem, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's worth. It's definitely a region that's also quite marginal from a Botswana perspective. So it's worth, if you want like a unique experience, it's worth adding a few nights there, depending on which time of the year. You either head to Naipan or you head down onto the Boteti River, and you get the zebra migration.
Yeah, and it's all in keeping with what we like to talk about here at Inspiring African Travel, and that's these are places that are a little bit less visited in Botswana, but are superbly rewarding as well.
Yeah.
So should we recap a little bit about the times of the year and places to stay? Let's go into the specifics of that.
Yeah.
So whilst we're talking about Naipan and Maharihari Pan, so that's the eastern area.
Yeah.
That's where the zebras are going to be during the summer. Mm-hmm. So that's, we like to call it the green season.
Yeah.
So that's when the rains are falling And that's December, January, February, March.
Perfect.
So typically at that time of the year, you go and stay out in Naipans or the eastern part of the Pans, and that's where you're going to see the zebras in good numbers. Now, our rains are not, it doesn't mean it's impossible.
Mm.
You might, if you're self-driving, you might find it a little bit difficult in certain parts, but as long as you've got good experience and do your research, you'll be okay. But, and the rains are, you know, typically short and sharp, you know, and it's just a stunning time of year to be out there. It's just the desert has turned into emerald. You can stay, there's only one lodge in Naipan, which is Naipan Camp, which is the Kwando property, which is an amazing lodge with its own waterhole. And then you've got the mobile site, so you can do a mobile safari with one of the companies where they'll set up mobiles for you. And again, there'll be very few mobile operators out there, but they set up the camp for you with your guide, and you can go and follow the zebras around there. And and then also, if you self-drive, there's Southgate, or you can stay at Baines Baobabs as a self-driver or with the mobile camp and follow the zebras and see that area.
And there's also a few, if you're self-drivers, there's also a few spots just on the outsides, right, which you can get in and access.
Exactly. Access, if you don't want to be, or if you just want to do Naipan for a day trip or something, you can go and stay exactly that.
Yeah.
You can go and stay at on the edge of Makhadi Khadi at Planet Baobab and Gweta Lodge. There's a little settlement, a little village there. Yes. And yeah, you can go and check out the meerkats as well. Yeah. And then head out into the edges of the salt pans. The pans themselves are impassable because of the water.
Correct.
But you'll be able to do drives out there. And also Natural Selections have properties out there. The famous Jack's Camp, which is like slap bang in the middle of that zebra migration during the green season, and they've got another camp called Camp Kalahari and Sand Camp. So those places are where you'll be in and amongst the zebra migration during the summer months of December to March.
Yeah, and those are all inclusive camps, right? So you're often flying in, flying out kind of experience. Great. So then we move out of the green season. Now we're talking. We remember the zebras start moving away from those pans down onto the Butete River. So let's time of the year, where to stay.
Time of the year, where to stay. So basically, again, it could be early. So this year our rains weren't that sufficient, and so by February,
really,
the zebras were already moving across to the Butete
because
the rains had stopped. And also there are some what they call the mini self false migrations. So they'll start moving, and then maybe there's a late rain, and then they'll come back.
Yeah, they turn around and run back.
Yeah, guys.
Too soon.
And it works the other way as well. Yeah, they often head out to the pans too early as well and have to come back. But by about April, May, they start arriving at good numbers on the western part of Makhadi Khadi Pans National Park, which is what we call the Butete Riverfront.
Yeah.
And so again, lots of options to stay along there, but it builds up basically from about May, June. The numbers of zebras are going to be more and more concentrated through July, August, September, literally until those first rains hit. So you can stay further up the river. You've got Meno Aquena, then there's a new camp called Moela, and then you've got our camp, Lerula Tau.
Yeah.
And then, so those are all sort of fully inclusive, more of the high-end camps. And then you've got Inkumacha Village, which is right on the gate into the Makhadi Khadi Pans National Park. You've got some affordable options, Butete River Camp and some camping options there in the town. But if you're self-driving or doing a mobile camp, you actually want to cross over the Butete into the park.
Yeah.
And you've got some really nice places. Mm. That's where Jules and I went.
Yeah.
And we've got some really good content, which we'll share from COVID. And that's where I went for my birthday. It was one of the best birthdays. We were the only people in Makhadi Khadi Pans National Park.
What an experience.
It was hot as hell, but we had the zebra migration to ourselves.
That's incredible, right?
It's a memory that will never leave me.
Yeah,
me and Jules, it was so hot. Mm. We literally sat naked on our camping chairs with cold beers in the heat of the day, and then we waited for the afternoon and followed the zebras all to ourselves. So it's pretty epic.
But that's also worth talking about. Which month was that in?
That was October.
October. So for me, October is one of the harshest times to be on the Butete River.
What did your brother call
really
it?
Really dry. The land of desolation. So, but it's incredible to see like how
the wildlife survives, it's like you almost get the sense that everything's just hanging on for this, for the rain to arrive, right?
Mm.
I mean, you get that in other areas in Botswana as well, on the Chobe River, for example. But yeah, it's just to kind of be in that space. It's hot. Like, you've got to be willing to put up with the heat, but it's worth it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you just go out there. The numbers of zebra are at their absolute peak. And there's really good other game because everything's pushing down onto the water now because there's literally no more water left elsewhere. So they're just searching for water. It's dry. It's harsh, but it's extremely
dramatic.
Beautiful and dramatic. The other thing that's really cool is if you're there, like you were talking about, when the season changes, you get the clouds starting to roll in, right? And you get, again, dramatic scenery as the rain breaks, and then everything like changes, like life is just put back into the place. And then obviously the zebra go, but like you said, if you're there for a few extra days, so around the end of October you want to start thinking about adding an extra day to your trip, you can go up to Naipan and like almost see them arriving on the other side, right? which is really, really cool.
Yeah I think it's well worth pointing out as well that if you do have also some empathy for wildlife, you might also struggle at that time of the year, because as you say, a lot of them perish. Lions are often around there. It's one of the most important breeding sites for white-backed vultures for a reason, and that's because there's plenty of dead zebras for them to scavenge on.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, vultures are an important part of the ecosystem as well, so yeah, it's impressive. And then equally, if you're there in the green season, it's the time of plentiness, plentiful.
Exactly.
It's life. The babies are dropped, and it's more joyful for the animals. So, yeah. But I nothing can take away from that experience in like late dry season.
Yeah.
Really just seeing the brutal force of nature out there unfolding in front of you.
Absolutely. And I think just quickly, let's touch on, because we've focused a lot on the wildlife. An incredible wildlife experience, but there's something else that's really cool about the Boteti River, and that, I mean, you mentioned earlier, is the Kumaha village and the closeness of the community to wildlife. And there's not a lot of places where you get that in Botswana, because it's all expansive and there's just wildlife everywhere, whereas on the Boteti you get this interaction between communities and wildlife coming down onto the river, right? Which is a very unique experience. You've got to go in there with the right mindset, because the community's right there. But I think it adds so much to the experience. Right?
Yep, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up. You know, and I think we're at the crossroads now of the future of Africa, and trying to expand wilderness areas is going to be more and more of a challenge.
Mm.
We have to learn to coexist with communities and people, and that's a classic example. So well worth spending time in Kumaha village, learning about how the wildlife and community relationship takes place.
Yeah.
And it's obviously the zebras are not the huge problem, it's the elephants and of course the lion.
Yeah.
That although they're there for zebra, when there's a lot of cattle that are, and donkeys and things like that, but cattle specifically, they find it easy to prey on the cattle and then move out of the village area. So there's a lot of human wildlife conflict that's going on there. But a lot of good work as well, in terms of trying to get that relationship working as best as possible.
And that's where we alluded to in the previous episode in Meru, where again, you're visiting a marginal area, your spend is going into an area where the village, the people living in that village are employed by a lot of these lodges.
Oh, that's exactly.
And so you're directly contributing to an area where you're making an impact that's like, it's visible as a person traveling there, right? Because you go into the village, you understand, like LaRue, I think there's so many great stories at LaRue of the staff that have been there for so long, they're from the village. And it's just such a cool story, and it's good to know that like your tourism spend, it has a big impact in an area like that, right?
Yeah, completely. I'm glad you brought that up. So by visiting this Botswana migration, you're helping visit a less visited area of Botswana. If everybody's going to the Okavango Delta and the Chobe River and things like that, the likelihood of the human wildlife conflict being exacerbated there in that Boteti Makgadikgadi area is higher. So you're actually helping an area put value on tourism, put value on wildlife. And So yeah, exactly that. Does a lot of really good things in terms of spreading the benefit of tourism and helping us solve the future challenge that is wildlife and human conflict, because that's what we need to do in order to help conservation in Africa.
Yeah, and you know, just to again say that it's a lesser known area, but it is an incredible experience. Mm. I mean, I think we've spoken about that a lot, and I think people take out of this podcast that we are both massive fans of that region, because we've been fortunate to spend so much time there. It is so good, right? And then just to very quickly touch on, obviously, if you're there in the dry season and you're spending 3 nights, there's this salt pans experience, which you can do, which we've covered already. But, you know, it's worth going back to check out in the, James, you'll put it in the show notes.
Right? Got a lot of
I can't tell you which episode it is, but salt pan sleep out, man. So zebra migration, salt pan sleep out, incredible community experience in one place. It's just, it's incredible.
Yeah, it is. It's an epic experience. And I think Makhadi Khadi salt pans has become synonymous with that salt pans experience, isn't it?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's well worth listening to that episode where we cover it. I think one day we need to do another one there out there. That place is just magical. But yeah, it is. It's pretty hard being out there in the green season on the pans because they're covered in water. But epic if you're able to stay out in one of those camps in that area to follow the migration. But being able to do the dry season side in the Boteti and then head out and for a sleep out on the salt pans, next level.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think we've covered it quite well. I hope the episode gives people a bit of a insight into kind of like what waits there. And yeah, you just got to put it on your list, right? If you're doing Botswana, if you're planning people's trips to Botswana, it really is something worth considering. The feedback is just so good and it's such a cool place.
Give us a shout if you need any help or any pointers.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks a lot, Stu. It's been great being in the studio with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I look forward to to seeing you again.
What's next? Do we know?
What's next? We have got, yes, we know what's next.
Or do we?
Namibia.
Yes. Cool.
Namibia is next. And then I'd like to, if you're not bored of me crapping on about East Africa too much.
Yeah.
I'd love to talk about the Lake Natron area and the volcano there that you can go. It's just again, another experience of a marginal area of what is a highly visited part of Africa.
Yeah.
And as I said, that's a really, really cool
thing to chat about.
So we've got more to cover, but really enjoying the series. Hope everybody else is enjoying it. And if there's anything that you feel like you want us to cover in a bit more detail, let us know.
Yeah, and let's have some feedback. See how it's going. Thanks, man.
Thanks, fella.
Good one. And that's a wrap.
Well done.